Greetings and welcome to the VTC podcast, Voices of Recovery. The VTC, or Veterans Treatment Court, is a treatment-based alternative to the traditional justice system. In lieu of going to prison, where we know that nothing truly changes for a veteran, the VTC aims to address the underlying issues that led veterans to interfacing with the legal system, including mental health, trauma, and addiction. Upon completion of our two-year program, a veteran's charges are dismissed. But we're excited to have with us today a special guest, Catherine Houghton, the Veterans Justice Outreach from the VA. Catherine, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So I want to hear about your work with the VA, your role on the VTC team. But before we dive into any of that, tell us first what brought you to the VA. Tell us about your background.
So I was a social work intern at the VA back in 2012, and I had the great experience of getting a little bit of VTC exposure, or veterans, you know, justice issues exposure, because my internship field instructor did the job I do now. She was the VJO social worker. So it was really exciting to kind of get that introduction to the VA, a little bit less traditional than what you think of as VA care, you know, the medical services and some of the outpatient services. So yeah, as an intern, I had access going into some of the jails and seeing the unique issues that veterans who are in those settings face. And after my internship, I ended up getting a job at the VA on one of the medical floors, which was a great experience. I learned a lot, kind of about a different side of the VA, the inpatient side. And then worked in the HUD-VASH program for several years before becoming the Veterans Justice Outreach Social Worker.
Awesome. And tell our listeners what HUD-VASH is.
Yeah, absolutely. HUD-VASH is a permanent supportive housing program for veterans. It is one of the homeless program services. There's lots of different services under the homeless program, but HUD-VASH is the one that allows a veteran to live independently in an apartment or, you know, just really any private residence with some financial support through the housing authority and the VA and some case management to help that veteran stay in housing. And it's interesting, I think I'll just mention this, the Veterans Justice Outreach Program is also a homeless program service. And that is because we know that veterans in the justice system have a high likelihood of losing housing or having housing in jeopardy. So all of these programs through the homeless program, the Veterans Justice Outreach Program is a good fit in there as well, because I'll meet veterans that are going to inevitably need that support at some time.
Right. So you have the background, the medical background, then the HUD-VASH background. And you mentioned you thought it was kind of fascinating how the VA is involved in the justice system with the VJO. So tell us about your role at the VA as a VJO, just the day-to-day and your responsibilities.
Yeah, so what I love about my job is that it's very dynamic. No 2 days are really the same. The goal with the Veterans Justice, it's Veterans Justice Programs. And with Veterans Justice Outreach, that is interfacing a lot with veterans who are currently justice involved. So whether they're on probation, maybe they're sitting in one of the county jails that our VA covers, maybe they have a concerned family member who reaches out, or an attorney might reach out. And the goal really for the Veterans Justice Outreach Program is to connect that veteran to supportive services that can address whatever got them justice involved in the first place. So I can say with pretty great certainty that all of the veterans that I interface with have some kind of untreated need, whether it's medical, mental health, housing, and that is kind of that root cause of whatever got them their legal charge. And so working with that veteran to identify what do they want, and then also what do they need, and then how does that fit into what the VA or community programs that the VA is involved with may offer. So Yeah, each day is kind of different. You know, I do certainly, I have a pretty full schedule, and a lot of it is community-based. So actually going out to the jail, meeting with someone in the jail. I still have my, you know, my VA responsibilities to the homeless program. And so I appreciate just kind of the way that my job can be really exciting, not just at the VA, but also in the community, meeting lots of different people.
Very cool. Yeah. So these organizations that you work with, one of them is the Buncombe County Veterans Treatment Court.
Yes.
So talk to us about your role in the Veterans Treatment Court and, kind of the responsibility that you have.
Yeah. So I would call it kind of like a liaison position between the VTC and the VA itself. And so each veteran that comes to, that's referred to Veterans Treatment Court, as long as they're eligible for VA care, I will set them up with an assessment at our SUD clinic or mental health clinic. And then the veteran will do an interview, an assessment, a clinical assessment with that clinic. And then they will get a bunch of different recommendations. And typically it'll be, you know, we recommend the veteran be seen by a prescriber so we can go over medications. We recommend a certain amount of groups or a certain kind of treatment for this veteran. And they'll give me and the veteran that information. And then I share that information with the Veterans Treatment Court team. And the treatment court team is all, you know, we're all about having a lot of structure and support. And so my role is to support the veteran with understanding their schedule, helping them, you know, if there's any barriers, if there's transportation barriers, or if there's a time issue barrier, given everything else they have going on, we kind of work through that together to make sure that they do have a supportive treatment plan that is going to help them get through this VTC process. VTC has so much accountability. It's really stressful. It's really overwhelming. And so I think sometimes initially it's like, oh, this treatment schedule is so busy and I have so much to do. But really, as veterans get involved in the groups and meet other veterans and, you know, get some support with clinicians, the treatment part becomes a really supportive piece of this whole process and a place where they can go and have that common understanding and can vent if they need to. Kind of that role between explaining to the treatment court team what this veteran is supposed to be doing treatment-wise.
Exactly. And so even this morning before the podcast, a great example, we were meeting with a veteran and just mapping out their schedule. The requirements of the VA groups can feel overwhelming to a veteran, especially in phase one.
Yes.
They're not used to the structure, the accountability. And one thing I've noticed is it's something new for the veteran to have to understand that the VA is communicating with the Veterans Court.
Right.
You're informing the team every single week, the status, have they been going to their groups? Are they engaging? It's actually every single day we're communicating. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the accountability. And then walk us through kind of how treatment team works before court. We go through that.
Yes. So before each court session, we have a meeting with all the treatment court team members, and everyone's reporting on progress through the week. So probation is sharing, you know, veteran X came 3 times this week. They all their urine analysis was negative. They were present for my home contact, kind of that accountability piece. That probation is, you know, is their area of expertise. And then Kevin provides updates on contacts with veterans and kind of the things that they're doing outside, maybe that we don't know about, community programs or, volunteering opportunities they've taken advantage of. And then I share about their treatment compliance. So, you know, Veteran X attended 3 out of 3 groups this week, had 1 individual therapy session, and is showing up, seems to be really engaged, and is doing a great job. So I share that information with the team for them to have an understanding of what kinds of treatment the veteran's having, and also to give some heads up about maybe there's a challenging anniversary coming up, or maybe there's a certain piece of treatment that is maybe going to give that person a challenge over the next couple of weeks for us to all be kind of tuned in.
Wonderful. So share with us about Anytime you're giving an update and maybe a veteran hasn't been attending their groups, there's issues of noncompliance. And just reminding the audience, we're an interdisciplinary team. So during these staffings, we have the voice of law enforcement, probation, the district attorney, but also public defenders are there. We have this therapeutic voice, which I really consider you, the VJO, the therapeutic voice, kind of representing the treatment goals. Talk to us about when a veteran is not in compliance with their treatment. What are the kind of steps that you see happen?
So initially, we, you know, if someone is coming into the program, we understand that this is going to be a learning curve for them, and we anticipate there may be some challenges in, on the front end. So just making sure that the veteran always knows whatever support you can think of, let us know. And I think what our team usually discovers is in the beginning, issues start to come up because this veteran hasn't had to show up in the same place necessarily at the same time. No one's been tracking that, or at least. So as someone is coming into the court, as we're maybe seeing some patterns, or, you know, we're noticing this person seems to have a really hard time showing up to their 9:30 a.m. group. What's, you know, they miss it every week. Trying to figure out how to support the veteran appropriately. So when you're talking about, you know, they're not compliant, the court does have to respond because they came into the court with the understanding they were going to follow this plan. So trying to target that behavior. So maybe it's a time management issue, for example. So supporting the veteran through going through their schedule, or helping them out with reminder phone calls even, has been a very helpful strategy for folks to just get them in that routine. And I mean, most of the time they say, oh, that phone call really helped, and now I'm going to make sure I get it on my calendar. And so just kind of on a veteran by veteran basis, responding in ways that's going to help them shape their behavior to meet the requirements of the treatment court team.
Okay. And as a team, we use something called structured decision making.
Right.
We have this matrix that we use. It's not prescriptive. It's not saying you had noncompliance A, so here we're doing response B. It's more like a buffet of options.
Exactly.
And for every noncompliance, we are responding with a sanction and then a therapeutic response.
Right.
And I love how you're able to give voice to what is the behavior we're wanting to address. Is it the time management issue? Is it, you know, that truly they're not wanting to participate in this group? Is it like what are the forces that are leading them to that behavior? And as a team, we're able to respond with celerity, respond quickly. The therapeutic decision also remains in the realm of the therapist. Yourself, right. You're a licensed clinical social worker. And then the sanction, talk to us how you also give voice to the decision of the sanction.
Sure. So with the sanction, you know, we have options, we have ideas, we can talk about each sanction and tailor it to kind of meet the situation that may have come up. I think what I have appreciated about treatment court, I feel like the sanction is, it provides that accountability. It provides that clear, you know, this thing didn't go the way it was supposed to happen. So there's this kind of like a consequence, I guess. And what I always appreciate about the sanctions is that we do have some ability to make sure that it works with the veterans, to meet the veterans' needs, to meet the veterans' schedule, to help them do something a little bit extra, but it's not going to derail them from other things they need to do, which if someone's on regular probation, they may not have a choice about serving a certain amount of time in jail because that's just the natural consequence of their probationary status. Whereas in veterans treatment court, we can kind of have an opportunity for the sanction to be, you know, something that is going to help them rather than totally interrupt or disrupt their lives. So it's definitely still a response that needs to happen because that is how this this evidence-based court is structured and works, but we can have some thoughtfulness with it. So maybe it's some additional community service hours to support the veteran with that spirit of giving back and being, you know, back as a part of the community versus kind of siloed.
Right. And so that's tailored really to each veteran, that individualized response that will have the most meaning.
Exactly. Right?
And behavior change, hopefully. All right. Well, last question. I wanted to just see what brings you the greatest joy in your job as the VJO and working with the Veterans Treatment Court.
I think one of the coolest things is just seeing this evolution over time, because I think universally phase one is so challenging for veterans. Because so much is happening, they may have been literally homeless. And so suddenly they're in a sober living house, or they're at the Veterans Restoration Quarters, or first at Blue Ridge. They're somewhere brand new. And while that's great because they're safe and sheltered, it also can be really difficult adjusting to that. So just seeing these things happen in their lives that can be really, really important to reaching that next level of stability that they haven't been able to achieve on their own for whatever reason. But seeing them go from phase one, and then the satisfaction they get when they get to phase two, and the confidence that gets built up, and just to see someone get to phase five and have that really special graduation ceremony is so, so rewarding. And it just, it's a definitely something that, you know, I'm so proud of the veterans for getting to that point, and just to see them with, you know, great amount of pride and empowerment is a really cool thing to see.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I think it's unique getting 2 years with an individual. Just in my own experience, clinical background, you know, you may have 12 weeks, a time-limited amount of, hey, we're going to go through this CBT module, right? But having 2 years with a person and being involved in their life every single day, it's really an honor at the end to see that transformation.
It really is. And just families that have been reunited and, you know, relationships that have been repaired. It's pretty, pretty amazing. And yeah, certainly something you don't see on in medical social work, you know, is just as long as they were inpatient, which may just be a week or two. And so, yeah, that long-term relationship is really cool. And in not all cases, but in some cases, still we'll hear back from veterans who have, you know, said have graduated from our program years ago, but still will reach out for little updates and stuff. And that's really cool too.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for talking with us today. Such an important part of the VTC, the Veterans Justice Outreach position. And Catherine, you are amazing. Our veterans trust you. They have that rapport with you, that sense of safety. And it has helped us as a program. You've also guided our team through difficult changes. You've kept us with that therapeutic mindset that is so important, because we are saying, hey, we are an alternative to the traditional justice system. And the therapeutic voice that you bring, really drives that home. So thank you so much for being with us. And a big thank you to all of our listeners. So stay tuned next week, where we continue our conversation and hear more about the voices of recovery. This is the VTC Podcast, signing off.